10 years of OK Radio repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Oh my gosh, look at you. Look at you driving across the country, headed home from the weekend, headed toward the third shift. It's a live radio show. This isn't like retirement and you. This is a live radio show. Are you alive? Are you alive? Coming up, we're going to answer the toughest question. What's worse, filling the dishwasher or emptying it? Now, weather with Dr. Dave.
More news, more news. Day and night around the clock, it's your news. You get it all when you set your dial to stirring every damn night. Stirring every damn night. Stirring every damn night.
Oh my gosh, look at this. It's 8 minutes, 8 minutes past the hour with Walter M. Sterling. Live on a Sunday night. The Gold Show is not live. Annuities and You are not live. And then I work on radio stations that keep going, why don't we have any younger listeners? You know, I'll tell you why. Because you run shows called things like Retirement and You. That'll pretty much end those younger folk that you're snapping for. This entire show is donated. Yes, it's donated, boy. This entire show is for David DiRenzo. David DiRenzo, my favorite account executive of all time. He works at Odyssey in Philadelphia, which has the most beautiful facility. I, Walter M. Sterling, a veteran of American radio, largely responsible for American radio. Oh, please. Yes, a terrific world-class account executive at Odyssey, Philadelphia. And now David Yadgaroff is headed off to some fancy sales summit. A sales summit. What's interesting to me is in the past 5 years at American Radio, there are many, many very important sales summits. The best minds in selling are gathering, trying to figure out how to sell more spots at a lower rate, and then they toast each other. But I haven't seen in many years a true programming summit. The National Association of Broadcasters, I haven't seen. Where's the programming summit? The NAB annual radio event, the NAB annual radio show, the NAB annual convention used to have radio breakout sessions, used to have radio programming breakout sessions. In fact, it was largely created by a radio programmer named Rick Sklar. However, in the agenda, the last 5-10 agendas I've looked at the National Association of Broadcasters, nothing for programmers at all. Nothing. And yet every year, radio revenue goes down. And it's a proven medium. There's no reason for that. I don't want to digress. I have two terrible things happened to me today. I am an introvert. You shared time with me before from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern on Sundays. If you shared time with me before, you know that I'm an introvert, and I have gas. And there's no greater threat to me than a random social event. The possibility of a random social event is terrifying. My wife, my current wife, actually had the audacity tonight to come home after a community meeting, which I will never go to. I won't go to a community meeting. Why would I do that? I would just throw rocks, figurative rocks, to the crowd. But she comes home and she says, I saw Rob, yeah, and he thinks you two should have lunch soon. What? He thinks you two should have lunch soon. Like, what? 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 What sort of threat is that? A random lunch? There's not going to be any business at that lunch. Rob's not in an industry from which I can derive ill-gotten gains, like radio, which is all ill-gotten gains, believe me. No, Rob wants to have lunch. What do you mean Rob wants to have lunch? I looked at her and said, are you insane? Could you imagine me just going to lunch with Rob and then spending the entire lunch wondering whether or not he's going to pay? That's what the whole lunch would be. Is Rob going to pay? That's all I would think about. Totally ruins it. In the old days, when I wore a suit and wingtip shoes, I used to always pay for lunch, which may be why I don't have a suit and wingtip shoes anymore. But I always paid for lunch. And now a random guy who lives on my street is saying, well, Walter and I should go to lunch. What? No, bad idea. A true introvert like me, a true loner like us, we're not comfortable with the threat of a lunch. No. Our greatest satisfaction, you and me, Midnight Misfits, Rebecca Canner, Beryl Kravitz, the Datz family, and Where the Hell Are You, and Karen with the Cats, and Stuart, I know you're listening. Our greatest comfort is if an event gets canceled. If, like, in about 6 hours, I'm supposed to go to a party or a barbecue or something horrible with other people, something involving other people. If my wife or my kids come to me and say, oh, well, that's been canceled, or you don't have to go, what could be a greater gift to me than that? That would be the greatest joy I could know than to be told I don't have to move. I could sit there and watch Storage Wars or Mayday, Mayday, Flight Disaster for the next 7 or 8 hours and call it show prep like you do. No, I have no interest in that. Are you working a 12-hour shift at the hospital tonight? Are you still on your shift? Are you in the car smoking right now? It's a bad look for an RN to be smoking in the car, but it's okay with me. Because our greatest satisfaction, Midnight Misfits' greatest satisfaction, yours and mine, is what? Sitting alone in the car. This is our greatest joy. I can make it colder or hotter. I can turn the station right now. No one's saying, no, we want to hear that. We want to hear that. By the way, the biggest BS I've ever heard, and all the charts and graphs that I see from Edison Research and Schmo Research and every other research company designed to give out-of-work broadcasters work, every one of them always says, well, you know, teens today are discovering music in new ways. Well, I don't care if teens discover music. I could care less. But the primary way teens discover music is here on the radio, and it will always be here on the radio. And there's a reason for that. The reason for that, you ready? You ready? You ready for this? The way the radio works is 14 inches from my shoulder, I can turn a knob and it goes on. If I go to a computer that I had to pay over $1,000 for, and a monthly internet connection, which I have to pay over $100 a month for, and a subscription, which I have to pay $12 a month for, unless I remember to cancel it, and I click on a song that I want to hear, the wheel of death starts spinning and spinning and spinning, and maybe after a little while, it'll say page unavailable, or the more popular brand name, Buffering Now. Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling. That's my name. I'm here every Sunday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific time. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Only Las Vegas can give us a Cybertruck with a stripper pole. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling every damn night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of two childhood friends who got into drugs, did jail time, and ruined their lives. Coming up in moments on Sterling every damn night.
Don't grab the hot dog and beans. Details later, people of Walmart. Sterling every damn night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here tonight. We're talking about socks, baby.
We have more unmatched socks than Dan has gray hairs.
I guess we're talking about that coming up on Sterling every damn night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by old guys.
The Babylon Bee, in tragic comedic fashion, captured the moment perfectly. Man ruled too senile to stand trial, still fine to run country.
The Las Vegas Strip, if you've driven it at night, it's very slow going. You can outwalk the traffic. Crazy Horse 3, an amazing strip club owned by a feller of Italian heritage named Nando Sestilio. No stereotypes. I'm sure it's an upstanding, fine business. One of the exotic dancers who actually begs to be on that truck because the strippers are getting tipped while dancing on that stripper pole is Rhubarb Ruby. Rhubarb Ruby is an exhibitionist to the fullest extent of the law. In fact, some of the other strippers are very jealous of her begging and putting herself in, well, shall we say, the position of being on that stripper pole. Las Vegas Strip, Cybertruck, black, Crazy Horse 3 logo. According to Mr. Sestilio, in the fast-paced world of Las Vegas entertainment, you have to look for your marketing edge. And I think he's found it. Crazy Horse 3, 2-drink minimum. Have fun. If you see Rhubarb Ruby, say hello to her for me. From the champagne room in the back of that Cybertruck, it's Velo Hool. Strippers on the loose. Sterling every damn night.
Well, it's 23 past the hour. You and I are driving across the country, up and down I-4 in Florida, to Sebring, to Michael Ewing's radio station. What is wrong with me? My dear friend, Michael Ewing, and Jay Clark, Michael Ewing calls me, and throughout my life, within 90 seconds, I call him back, and then I got to pick up the kid, and then I have to go to the store, and then I got to get the dry cleaning, and then I have to prepare this show, and I'm Michael, I am sorry. I am so sorry. I will call you back when I wake up tomorrow. Now, that's tricky. Because of this wacky schedule and the fact that I'm on the air six nights a week. That's right, six nights a week. You don't see these amateurs like Michael Barry or whatever. They're not on six nights a week. And they're not up against the Emmys, the Oscars, the People's Choice Awards. Amateurs. I get to be thrown up against those shows because why? I get ratings. Why do I get ratings? Who the hell knows? But here we are now. So I told you that my current wife threatened me with a lunch with Rob. You're going to have lunch with Rob. And the way I define a friend as an adult, it was easy to know if it was your kid in high school. In high school, if they didn't bully you, they were your friend. But in adulthood, it's different. It's very hard to know who an actual friend is because you have colleagues and then you have friends. And think about it. The people that you work with, whether you like them or not, what percent of the time do they ever cross the threshold and come to your home? How often does that happen? Maybe if you have a holiday party in your home for everybody at work, maybe. Right, Beryl Kravitz? Right? Maybe. Neil Paul, Judy Paul, maybe. Catherine Archer, Catherine Arthur, Rebecca Canner. We don't push this, you know. Oh, and Frankie Cohn. Yeah, Reds, I know you. Got it. Thanks for listening. Here's the deal. As an adult, the boundaries of what is a friend and not are much different because I don't know really, if you just graduated from high school or college, this is the best advice I can give you about work. It's the best advice my mother gave me about work, and I didn't listen to her. Listen to your mother. Pretend I'm your mother. Anybody at work is not your friend. They are not your friend. Repete, they are not your friend. They are a colleague. You don't know their true motivation for that smile. That smile could be because they want your job. The smile could be because they want to steal information from you. The smile could be because they're just a lousy snitch. and they want you to say something stupid so they can snitch on you. You don't know. Assume no friends at work. And then part two, reveal no personal details at work. Assume everything out of your mouth is going to be too much information. You have no judgment. You don't have a clue what's too much information. I will help you. Anything you say is too much information. That's our challenge at work. And it has tougher bumpers than it did 10, 20 years ago. Everything I said 20 years ago, that's really all you needed to know. Now, everything you say could come with a subpoena. Everything you say could come with a formal complaint. Everything you say could be labeled inappropriate and require you to go to HR if you're lucky. And if you're not lucky, could be required you to be fired. And you're sitting there going, what the hell did I say? What did I say? You said nothing. I don't know about you, but I was raised from the buck up school. It went like this. When I was 22 and I had a good job at 30 Rockefeller Plaza, but I didn't feel I was being petted enough. I didn't feel I was being told I was wonderful. I didn't feel I was being told I was doing a good job. And week after week, this ate at me. Partly because I knew I wasn't. But the other part was it just ate at me. And I mentioned this to my father. Big mistake. I had a really good father. However, there were bumpers in my relationship with him, and it went like this. I said to him, you know, Dad, I wish somebody at work would just say, you're doing a good job, what a nice work you're doing. You know, it'd be nice. And my father said to me, what? He said, how often do you get a paycheck? How often is the paycheck? Once every 2 weeks? That's your thank you note. Pass the mashed potatoes. That was the end of that conversation. That conversation was not going to be indulged on by my father. My dad worked at Bell Telephone Laboratories for like 17 years, which at the time was like working at Apple today. I'll bet you in 17 years he was never told he did a good job. And that was his perspective. It's like he got paid. He had steady work. He had a pension. He had health insurance. What are you talking about? That's all you get. That's a lot. Then, and I just shared this with my 18-year-old, I caused a scandal on Facebook today. No, really. I caused trouble on Facebook. And I've tried to avoid social media trouble, but it's not always possible. You can't always do it. Plus, you and I are going to talk to Stephen the Baker and Selena Ballerina, his co-worker, and Mateus Boom Boom from Hollywood, who will give us an update on movies for the weekend and also the Emmy Awards. Who's this? I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by an angry butcher.
There's over $10 million in beef in here. The best steaks in the country.
Will it be rain, snow, cold, warm, or hot? Can we discover just what is what? With weather news from Dr. Dave, coming to us from the weather cave, from the mighty 1210. Here's the latest on the weather wonderful.
WPHD. Sterling, every damn night weather from Miami to Mendocino. This is meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser. And what a difference a week makes as we move into mid-September and a very strong upper-level low-pressure system has moved into the Pacific Northwest, bringing rain chances to all the way down to Northern California with a chance of showers and thunderstorms right down the coast. And especially in Sacramento, through midweek, we're going to see much cooler temperatures. Now, tomorrow's high in the capital city will be around 72. Folks, that's 30 degrees cooler than a week ago. Clearing after Wednesday, and temperatures will bounce back to the mid-80s by Friday and maybe 90 by Saturday. Las Vegas has a wind advisory for tomorrow. Sunny with blowing gust, winds to 25 miles an hour, gusting to over 35 miles an hour, highs in the lower 80s, and that too is some 25 to 30 degrees cooler than last next week. Now, we might get back to 90 by Saturday with a slight shower chance. That's Wednesday night or Thursday. Now, we've got winter weather advisories for portions of the Sierra Mountains above 8,000 feet, where we might see up to 4 inches of snow tonight and tomorrow. Wow, we've got weather every night for Sterling every damn night from Miami to Mendocino. This is meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser.
Boom, boom, Hollywood, Sterling every damn night.
There's Boom Boom in Hollywood, the epicenter of all entertainment, all the entertainment, all the legacy media, and tonight is Emmy night. Plus, there were two big movies out this weekend. So, Mateus, you have a tremendous amount to share with us tonight.
Evidently, and I'm happy to report it, but Walter, a pleasure to be with you on this great radio program. Down at the Peacock Theater in Los Angeles, the Emmys are happening as we speak at this moment, and we have some winners thus far. Let me tell you who they are. The Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Comedy Series, that's been awarded to Eben Moss-Bacharach in The Bear, and Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Drama Series has gone to Billy Kudrup. He's been around for a long time for The Morning Show, and he's doing pretty well in that. Speaking of The Bear, Jeremy Allen White, who is the primary character and to the thrill of many women doing underwear ads now, won for The Bear and that wonderful story of what it takes to run a big restaurant kitchen. Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Comedy Series thus far, Walter, it looks like Lisa Colon Zayas for The Bear. They're racking up the wins. Elizabeth Debicki has won for The Crown as the Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Drama Series. Jean Smart, she's a wonderful actress of a certain age. She won for Hacks tonight. Outstanding Reality Program competition went to Traitors. The Traitors is the winner. Outstanding Supporting Actress in the Limited Anthology Series or Movie, Jessica Gunning for Baby Reindeer, and that show's a trip. Outstanding Scripted Variety Series went to Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. Outstanding Writing for Variety Special, are you keeping score? Alex Edelman, Just Between Us, has taken the statuette. Outstanding Directing for a Limited or Anthology Series or Movie has gone to Ripley, to Steven Zaillian.
Yeah, okay, that's enough. That we don't
Patricia
care about
Heisman.
Who. That's enough. We don't care who directed a limited series. Now, are you talking to me on a speakerphone or a Bluetooth?
No, it's just me and you directly on into the mouthpiece.
Wow, it keeps dropping out, which is not your fault. All right, you've done nothing wrong. You're an innocent. Movies. What?
I hope to be.
Now, I love to yell at people about their phone use, but in this case, I can't do that to you.
Well, you're certainly welcome to, but there's nothing we can do about it. So let's talk about the movie.
No, you do too good a job for our very powerful and important show, which is live on a Sunday night, Sterling on Sunday. Now, listen, Mateus, a movie opened this weekend. What movies you got?
We've got a movie called The Critic, which stars Sir Ian McKellen. This is set in England in the 30s, which is exactly what you'd expect him to appear in, unless it's one of these big movies about swords and sorcerers. And he's a really outstanding actor. And he's kind of playing this one a little close to his real-life situations. He's a critic. He's a drama critic for a newspaper, an old-fashioned dyed-in-the-wool English newspaper. Jimmy Erskine's his name, and he's got a devastating pen who either makes or breaks stars on the stage. And he lives with a young male secretary named Tom, played by Alfred Elock, who types his musings for publication.
Mm.
Now, with the paper under new management, things are changing. Many longtime writers being sacked. Sound familiar? A lot of broadcasting like that. Aware of Erskine's sexual proclivities, the paper puts him on notice, so he convinces a young man, played by Gemma Atherton, who is gorgeous, to participate in a blackmail scheme to get back as his boss, which includes Gemma, you know, getting into bed with him, which is interesting and delightful to watch because she's a lovely, lovely lady.
Listen, you keep
in exchange
dropping.
For notices
wait,
and starving.
Mateus, you keep dropping out. It's no fault of yours.
All right.
What's the name of the actress who he keeps getting into bed with? That's what we care about.
Absolutely. Gemma Arterton. Gemma
what
Arterton,
else have we seen Gemma
actress.
In? What else? Is that like Juno Temple? What else have we seen her in?
Well, she's been in a lot of mostly British productions. You may know her from Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time. She was in that, Byzantium, and The Girl with All the Gifts back in 2016. Mm-hmm. Clash Sounds of the too- Titans, too, in 2010.
Maybe that. The other ones sound pretty NPR-ish to me. I can't get involved with that.
Well, this is an NPR-ish kind of picture and audience. I liked it very much because I think that Ian McKellen is a solid actor. Even though he plays a pompous, complexly dark and unlikable character, you still like him because he does it so well.
I want you to strive for movies that have more nudity and more nudity with women under the age of 30. Could you do that for me? Would you strive for that?
And over 18. I will strive for that.
Has to be over 18, honey, but not doesn't have to be over 30. In fact, if it stars so. Alexandra Daddario, even for a second, that's the movie you have to lead with, okay?
Right. Well, I'll keep that in mind.
Is there any... Oh, how's Beetlejuice doing?
Beetlejuice continues to rake in cash and outrageous amounts of money, and audiences seem to really love it. And that's unusual for a sequel, because sometimes they can really screw it up. I think they've got up to $188 million in the U.S. and Canada alone, and like $264,300,000 all over the world. The movie's a hit.
I think the reason that it doesn't have any pushback because it's a sequel is that the original came out a generation ago, that the prime movie-going audience, 18 to 30-year-olds, they weren't alive when the first one came out, or they were not aware of the first one. This is a new movie to them.
Right. The distance has been long enough.
How do I get in touch with you during the week, Mateus?
mabhollywood.com on your web browser. That's mabhollywood. Or find me on Facebook at Matias Bombals Hollywood. That's spelled MATIASBOMBAL'S Hollywood, like the city, for the latest.
And thanks for the extra credit you did tonight, keeping us up to date on the Emmys. Thank you very much, Mateus. You're a good friend. Mateus Boom Boom Hollywood, every Sunday and Friday on Sterling, every damn night. Oh, what? Friday? Yes. I'm on Monday through Friday from 9 to midnight on the East Coast. And if you go to the, it's real simple. You could download the Odyssey app, but no one knows how to spell Odyssey, so it's okay. Or you could just put in your browser 1210WPHT.com and click Listen Live. You can hear me all week. Or if you want me to send you that information again, I'd be happy to send you a private email, because you are special, Rebecca, at waltermsterling@gmail.com, waltermsterling@gmail.com. You and I will plunge into the private lives of two prominent New Jersey bakers. Let's just hold that thought. The private lives of two New Jersey bakers. That's coming up in just seconds. But there is a social media post that is just too funny. It's just too funny. There's a social media post. I have to get the language exactly right. Give me one second. It means I have to put on glasses and I have to flip through this. Oh, my God. My life is hell. Hold on. Oh, it's so exhausting doing social media. So exhausting. Where is it? I have to do this. It's on Facebook. Hold on a second. This. Yeah, if I was professional, I'd have it ready, but I'm an amateur. Freaking amateur. This is my favorite headline ever. Trump declares, quote, "I hate Taylor Swift," end quote. Like, what? I hate Taylor Swift. I'm thinking, would John Kennedy have said that? Either Bushes, would they have said that? Not even Bill Clinton would have said that. But these are the times in which we live. I love it. I do. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Coming up.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of two childhood friends who got into drugs, did jail time, and ruined their lives. Coming up in moments on Sterling every damn night.
Don't grab the hot dog and beans. Details later. People at Walmart, Sterling every damn night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here tonight. We're talking about socks, baby.
We have more unmatched socks than Dan has gray hairs.
I guess we're talking about that coming up on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling Every Night, inspired by tips for dating.
Never show a girl that you love her too much. Always act busy and always ignore her messages until another man pops up and shows her how to treat a girl. And now you will receive the wedding invitation. Good luck.
Yes, I'm J.J. Wilson with another iconic and ironic, oh, that's good, edition of Drive-Thru Brew. Well, is it fair to criticize a frequently tardy employee who lacks a driver's license and rides a dilapidated bicycle to work? Let's listen as the drive-thru's manager takes an unwelcome phone call from his young subordinate.
Good morning, Drive-Thru Brew. So this is what, the fourth time your chain fell off in the last 2 weeks? You'd better think of a new excuse, Jake.
Okay, then it wasn't my chain, it was my pedal.
Jake, what did I say the last time you were late?
No problem.
The hell I did. I said one more time and you're fired. So this is it, pal. You're terminated. No.
Oh, coincidentally, the very next morning.
Oh, where's the dang phone? Jake's residence. Jake speaking.
Jake, it's me. Look, I'm in kind of a bind. My car won't start, and the regional director is coming over at 9:30. Do you think you could open the store for me?
That's what you said the last time your car wouldn't start.
Jake, give me a break. I'm offering you your job back.
How many more times can my chain fall off?
I don't know. 3?
Deal.
Will Jake behave himself when he meets the regional director? Or will he say something stupid, like,
sorry, the manager ain't here right now. His car was busted, and he always says that when he doesn't want to show up.
That's next time on Drive-Thru Brew. Word Car speaking.
All right, it's 53 minutes past the hour. There's Stephen the Baker and Selena Ballerina of JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey, the official Sterling on Sunday Baker. This is earned media. They don't pay for this. I get nothing for this. It's just because their baked goods are spectacular and their story is progressively interesting as long as I keep pushing them to say things they don't want to say. How was your weekend business, Mr. Baker?
Hey, Walter, it's great to be on with you. The weekend's going great. Beautiful weather. The fall season's, you know, been kicking up pretty good. We're making some, finally started to make some pumpkin items. I got a pumpkin cream donut that I'm making and pumpkin pies out already, too. It's a beautiful weekend. Even made some pumpkin scones. Selena did a wonderful job with a Instagram and the Facebook post, so check those out for sure, Walter. We always enjoy your comments. Are you ready for fall items?
2 weeks ago, you told me you were going to resist this until at least October.
Well, the climate change has really made it into fall weather, so it's almost like, you know, like the demand for fall pumpkin stuff, you know, hit me, and I said, okay, but I'm going to wait till, like, this weekend. So Sunday's supposed to be the first day of fall. So I'm going to wait till this weekend to, you know, to roll out some really cool stuff. So make sure to, you know, watch out for the Facebook page on that, because I got some fun pumpkin stuff coming out for the next weekend, the first day of fall, which is Sunday.
I'm not aware of any climate change. It's 85.
It's 85.
What was your temperature this weekend? Well, it was 85.
Yeah. Saturday was actually really hot.
Right. So what are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Today feels pretty good, though. Today feels pretty good.
85 feels pretty good.
Yeah. So,
Selena, what's he talking about? He's delusional, confused. What's the issue here?
So it is a little chilly right now. It's been chilly at night. And I know it did cool down for a little while. We had a couple of weeks where it was a little bit colder. But it is definitely hotter now. It's been 85 or warmer than that some days and sunny, which we're really grateful for. And really, I mean, we had no choice. We were basically held in the corner, like, for ransom until we started putting pumpkin stuff out because our customers, they were ruthless. I mean, we had that one day, that first day, that was a little bit cloudy and maybe not as hot. And all of a sudden, everyone wants pumpkin spice. They want their pumpkin cold brew. They're coming in like crazy with their pumpkin Starbucks in their hand. I mean, we had to. We had no choice. We wanted to wait. We wanted to keep the summer things going. But we had no choice. We had to put the pumpkin pies out.
JB Bakery is the name. JB Bakery is the name of the business. You can find them on Facebook. And the worst thing about it, and really it's cruel, is that you will see things you want right now. You will see baked goods, donuts, pies, the jelly donuts, the stuffed donuts. Those are cruel. And now you're threatening me with pumpkin pies. It's quite a trick. So JB Bakery on Facebook. Do you have a recipe you want us to push here, buddy?
Yeah, well, I'd say, like, we're doing the customers have been kind of ruthless because we're doing this election poll with Trump and Kamala. And speaking of Trump, the only reason why he doesn't like Taylor Swift is because he never cashed in on building stadiums and concert halls. He did hotels and golf courses, so that's why he's really mad.
Yeah, way off topic, Stephen. Way off topic. Yeah. And you got about 30 seconds, buddy.
Nonetheless, he is a billionaire. So
yes.
For the debate, we're making up a billionaire bar. It's a cookie dough bar. It's got cookie dough. It's got brownie. It's got caramel. And
you've sent me the recipe.
Billionaire bar.
The billionaire bar,
yeah.
Listen, Stephen's recipes are great because they are coached. He'll give you great tips on how to make the billionaire bar, and everybody who's made his recipes is very happy. If you want one of his recipes, write it to WalterMSterling@gmail, WalterMSterling@gmail, and I will send you his billionaire bar recipe. Stephen and Selena at JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. Thank you very much. You can find these obscene photos of their baked goods at JB Bakery on Facebook. JB Bakery on Facebook. I have a phone number, 888-688-WALT. You and I should talk constantly. It's a live radio show. What? Yes, a live radio show at this time. You and I are together right now. Here's my phone number. Call me. Let's talk. 888-688-WALT. Sterling on Sunday.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
I caused a scandal on Facebook today. I'll share that with you coming up in just seconds. But first, the most important thing in our life, the weather.
Will it be rain, snow, cold, warm, or hot? Discover just what is what with weather news from Dr. Dave coming to us from the Weather Cave from the mighty 1210. Here's the latest on the weather wonderful WPHD.
Sterling, every damn night weather from Miami to Mendocino. This is meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser. Temperatures are going to have a very large range across the U.S. over the next couple of days. A very interesting battle in weather systems over the eastern seaboard has developed between a strong high pressure ridge over southeast Canada and New England, with lots of sun and warm temperatures up there. And then we have what's left of Tropical Storm Francine over the southeast. And yet another system behind that being monitored for tropical development out in the southern Atlantic and Caribbean Sea that might pose a risk to the east later in the week. With lots of wind and rain that we're seeing over the Carolinas, Georgia, and Florida tonight. Now, out west, we have another unsettled pattern that's taking shape with a strong upper-level low-pressure system bringing widespread precipitation chances with much cooler temperatures, cold enough for snow in portions of the Sierra Nevada and Rocky Mountains, especially above 7,500 and 8,000 feet. Meanwhile, we've got well-above temperatures in the central U.S. and Midwest and the Great Lakes region, well into the 80s for those folks. This is meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser with weather reports at 6 and 36 past every hour, only right here with Sterling every damn night.
More news, day and night around the clock, it's your news. You get it all when you set your dial to Sterling every damn night.
Everyone, you are chugging wine, you are sitting on a table? What is this, a party? And I thought I told you no funny business with Maya.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, yes, you do. Don't play dumb with me. I thought you were done experimenting.
You think everyone that's bi is experimenting? You don't know anything. You have zero gaydar.
Excuse me, kid. I lived through New York in the 80s. My gaydar is strong as a bull.
There are things we're not allowed to admit. It's one of the great challenges of, are you cool or not cool? Are you cool or not cool? Coolness is determined by what you admit you like, not what you do, not what you say you hate, never by what you say you hate, not who you hang out with, but what you say you like. That determines if you're cool. If I say to you at a community meeting or with Playboy Playmates, they still exist, that I like Do the Freddy by Freddy and the Dreamers, I am instantly not cool. If I say that I like Trevor Lawrence, that's fine as long as I stop there. If I say I would like to be like Trevor Lawrence, I'm instantly a fanboy and not cool. the things you and I admit to liking, if I say I love Disney movies, I love Lifetime movies, forget it. If I say I binge watch Storage Wars as opposed to the Roman Empire, then I'm immediately not cool. That's how it's determined. Whatever I admit to liking secretly, I like the Monkees. I love the Association. I'm surrounded by men of a certain age who will never admit that they like the songs by the Association. Lord knows they would never admit that they like the Freddie, but not one man of a certain age turned off the radio when I played that song. Not one of you did. If you're alone in the 18-wheeler, you turned it up. I can see you. I'm 14 inches away from you. I can see you. You turned it up. If you were in the car with somebody you were trying to impress, you're gone. You don't even hear what I'm saying. You probably turned it off, hit the button. I can't stand this. Why is he playing that? If you're in the talk radio community, God help you. You sat there and said to whoever was around, I don't know why he's playing this. Why isn't he screaming at the Democrats? That's what we do. Nope. I like Do the Freddie. Do I like it 40 times? No. But once a month, twice a month, I like that. By the way, Freddie Garrity, the writer of the song, the lead of Freddie and the Dreamers, really weird fact, he was a world-class musician and singer. Top of the charts, could not have been a more skilled musician and chose to go down the dark path of making novelty songs. He probably looked at it and said, you know, the Beatles, the Dave Clark Five, the Rolling Stones, I don't think I got that, but I've got this. And then he wrote Do the Freddie. If I say to you, I really like Storage Wars, you know, an episode a week, well, that's sort of okay, but that doesn't make me cool. If I say I like Mayday, Mayday, Air Disasters, that will not make me cool, even though I'll sit there for 3 or 4 hours and watch Air Disasters until it finally dawns on me that every episode of Air Disasters, Mayday, Mayday, Air Disasters, finally dawns on me that every one of them has the same plot. The plane crashes. And then they tell. In the initial interviews, there'll be a chyron over the screen that says, passenger on flight 203. And I'm like, oh, people lived. If they have passengers they're interviewing early in the episode, that means people lived. We know that it wasn't a 100% fatal crash. It was just a very scary crash. What else you got, Walter? Oh, then this weekend, scandal on Facebook. And then I have to talk to you about my 19-year-old beautiful, precious daughter and something that happened to her recently that is hitting me in wave after wave after wave and just infuriated me. It's 15 past the hour. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of two childhood friends who got into drugs, did jail time, and ruined their lives. Coming up in moments on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Don't grab the hot dog and beans. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling Every Damn Night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. Tonight, we're talking about socks, baby.
We have more unmatched socks than Dan has gray hairs.
I guess we're talking about that coming up on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Judge Judy.
You have nice people who invite you for Thanksgiving dinner a month in advance, and then you spring on them the morning that you're coming. We have to bring the dog. It's wonderful with babies. It's wonderful. It doesn't even bark. Do you understand? That's real gall. That's real gall. I'm saying this to the tens of millions of people who will watch this program in repeats, originals, whenever, when I'm long gone. If you're invited to someone's home for an event, and especially if it's a stranger, don't bring or ask to bring your dog.
Hi, I'm Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
We have 8 kids and we live in an old house, and we're here with another update on our life. How many grocery bags full of socks do we have?
It is not grocery bags, and this is an embarrassing thing to say, but I have a problem. We have 3 garbage bags full of unmatched socks, and here's why. Because I'm strangely obsessive about not getting rid of the socks, because I think I'll find the socks someday, and I have saved all of the unmatched socks that should have been thrown away 20 years ago. But here is the thing. If I throw it away, I'm going to find it. Secondly, I've frankly given up on the socks.
And the kids refuse to really match the socks.
For years and years and years, the kids, when it was time to match socks, we do laundry, we'd match socks. They would do, you know, kind of a bad job at it, and then I would finish. I would finish it. And I think that's mostly the problem, is that now I don't want to finish it anymore.
She's not kidding. 3 grocery bags or
trash bags.
Trash bags full. Now, when I do the laundry with my own socks, I've taken to washing my own socks.
So that he doesn't lose them.
Because I'm sort of obsessive about it. If I lose a sock or I get a mismatched socks, it will end up in this garbage bag and never return. So I have to be very protective of my socks.
All right. Now, I think really, let's actually get down to it and say that this is my problem. This is a me problem. I won't get rid of them, and I don't want to match them anymore. I just refuse to match them.
All right. I have lobbied for this to happen in the house.
For years.
Throw them all away.
Yep.
We'll just throw them all away and buy everybody new socks. And then every grocery trip, every couple of weeks, I could replenish socks, just like we buy laundry detergent or something. Could buy socks.
Which seems absolutely ridiculous to me, because why don't I just get off my lazy butt, get over my crazy, and match the socks that I've given up on?
This is a lot easier.
Yeah, you say that, but do you understand, like, I'm not a hoarder, people. I'm not a hoarder. I am hoarding these socks.
The more you say you're not a hoarder, the more people will think you're a hoarder.
All right, but please explain to them, I am not a hoarder. I just have a sock problem. It's specifically a sock problem.
Will you try my idea this week? Let's throw them all away.
Can we just make sure we get all my wool socks out of the giant sacks before we throw them away?
One last go through and then they're gone.
But you have to actually help. You have to help. You have to help me get the kids to help.
Because I'll help take
if
it to
somebody
the trash,
helps.
I'll help load it to the trash can.
If somebody helps me, we will have enough matched socks to never have to buy socks again and probably sock all the homeless people in the county.
Follow me on Facebook, Dan Gaffney Show.
And if you're looking for me, I'm on Instagram as Just Being Mom.
Dan and Becky, Sterling every damn night.
How lucky am I to have the Gaffneys yelling at each other on my show? There's nothing I like more than hearing domestic couples yelling. I'm not being sarcastic. I'm from New Jersey. That is the comforting tone to me. Anybody who grew up in New Jersey, to hear low boil domestic squabbles, that's our lifeblood. That was our lullaby. That was our cradle in New Jersey. People like the Gaffneys, the sound of their voices wafting through the suburban neighborhoods, through the screened windows on nights like this. I don't think we need the air conditioner. They open the window and what do we hear? Everybody knows everything is just fine. The existential threat to our happiness on any given day, this is for dads, the dishwasher. The curse of the dishwasher is at root, at our heart. We know it's a luxury. And to complain about a luxury is a highway to hell. Must never complain about the broken windows in the Porsche. The power windows in the Porsche, if they're not working, you better keep it to yourself. But to complain about emptying the dishwasher is, in fact, the greatest irritant that you and I feel on any given day. We go through the day, everything's okay until it's time to empty the dishwasher. And then when I face the dishwasher, the furnace of the dishwasher, the furnace of resentments known as the dishwasher, when I face that and I open it up, oh, and it's clean and everything's there. And I look around for daughter number one, daughter number two, even daughter number three, or my current wife. Who do I see? The cats. And I look at the cats, will you empty the dishwasher? That gaze, they turn away slowly, guiltily. No, the cats are not going to help. And then I think, I don't mind filling the dishwasher. Basically, there are two types of humans. Those who like to fill the dishwasher and those who like to empty the dishwasher. I prefer to fill it because when I'm done, even if it's only three quarters full, when I'm done, I get that great sense of satisfaction of pushing the start button and leaving the kitchen, knowing that it's cleaning while I'm gone, that I have started the process of the profound clean by starting the dishwasher. But then when it needs to be emptied, that's a chore. It's not a task with a reward of pushing the button and then wondering, why didn't I buy that rinsing stuff? And wondering whether or not the investment in the rinsing stuff is worth it. Because the brand name rinsing stuff, that's kind of expensive. The cheap, great value rinsing stuff, that's almost okay. But then I'll go for months at a time without buying the rinsing stuff. And what does that do? It accumulates guilt. That accumulates guilt, not buying the rinsing stuff. At the moment, we don't have the rinsing stuff. Even more suspicious. The last time my current wife went to the supermarket, which was an event in itself, I think that was actually a national holiday, she bought the wrong dishwasher detergent. She bought a powder. What? A off-brand powder. And much to my shock, and I will pass this along for you economy-minded friends, it works great. Who knew? Because I always want the capsules that have eight different colors, has multiple types of Cascade in it, and Rinso, and Mr. Rinso, and very expensive capsules. But she bought the Great Value Powder dishwasher detergent, and it works great. I haven't dropped my pride enough to admit that to her. I haven't told her yet that the powder works great. But what do you find worse, emptying the dishwasher or filling the dishwasher? Emptying the dishwasher or filling the dishwasher? Which is worse for you? 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. I have gas. I have to get that GasX stuff. Can I get them to be sponsors? Can I get GasX to be a sponsor? But call. It's live. Worst dishwasher to fill or empty? 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by TikTok videos.
Never put these six foods in the fridge, otherwise you wouldn't even know how you died. 1. Ginger.
I don't know what to do. I made friends with this girl and now I have a huge crush on her and I don't really think that she's into women and it's gonna be hard for me to hang out with her because of my crush and I don't want to make her feel uncomfortable either, so I feel weird telling her that, and I don't really know what to do. She's probably going to see this, and that's really also embarrassing. And, God,
what
do I
do? What? What did it say? Sterling every damn night. Good evening, I'm Walter M. Sterling. You and I are together every Sunday night because we don't belong. Normal people don't listen to the radio at this time. If they do, they can't wait to hear the Annuities and You show, or Mr. Gardner, or Mr. Texas Gardner, or, oh, let's not forget, Automobiles Are Us, the Used Car Salesman show. But none of that is here. What's here tonight is you and me, Midnight Misfits. We don't fit in, we don't belong, and I'm going to give you a membership card that says you don't belong. All you have to do is visit WalterSterlingShow.com, WalterSterlingShow.com, and click Midnight Misfit. And there you'll be able to see your membership card, what you're required to do, what's expected of you. You print it out. It's free. You have it instantly. You can study it before the end of the show tonight. What a remarkable gift that I'm giving you. I realize today how much of my time is spent in emotional issues regarding the dishwasher. I like to fill the dishwasher. There's no greater joy for me than to open the dishwasher and see that somebody magically has emptied it, that I don't have to do anything, that I can just fill it. I don't mind filling it. I'm a very good filler. This whole show is 3 hours of filler. No problem. I'm an expert at it. Emptying it is a different issue, because emptying it has rules. Certain things go in certain places, and there's very little ad-libbing about that. When we moved into this home, my current wife set up where things went. Did she ask me? No. She just set up where things went, and we all had to follow them. All of her children had to follow them, including me. That's where things go. That's how it goes. It's exhausting. Dealing with her is exhausting. But that's it. And so that's no joy. There's no joy in that. No joy. Filling the dishwasher is different because I can ad-lib. And I'm very good at ad-libbing. I've made a profession out of it. Yes, it's a profession. Shut up. How about you? 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. Which do you prefer, loading the dishwasher or emptying? And here's how you can tell. You may not even think about this, but one of them causes you a resentment. Where is everybody else? And the other one does not. 888-688-WALT. Your resentments about the dishwasher. Do you feel the resentment when you are asked to fill it or when you have to empty it? Where does your resentment live? 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. I was on Facebook today. Now, I have noticed that the algorithm progressively punishes me. 2 years ago, I'd post something and I'd get 40 comments. 40 likes, 50 likes. I was feeling pretty good. But as time has gone on and they realize what I do for a living, I get like one response. Very often I'll post something and get no response. Hometown Facebook pages. Maybe your hometown has a Facebook page. Mine does. It's Maplewood, New Jersey. I grew up in Maplewood, New Jersey. The northeast corner of the state, 20 minutes from Manhattan. That's my orientation. And I have to adjust something here. You just have to excuse me. There we go. And I noticed that on my hometown Facebook page, that all anybody was posting was a picture of the home they grew up in. Nothing else. Photo after photo of where they grew up. That was it. Their house. And ultimately, it looked like a real estate broker's page. It looked like a realtor's page of mid-century, middle-class homes. That's what it'll look like. It was very boring, and everybody posted the same thing. They said, this is the home I grew up in. I left there 18 years ago, but this is the house I grew up in, and I loved living in Maplewood. I just joined the group. That was it. I just joined the group. I love living in Maplewood. And they post a dreary picture of their dreary mid-century middle-class house and say that they had just joined the group. And I'm a storyteller. I kept writing, tell a story. Okay, you have a house. Now tell a story. Tell a story. And I repeated that too many times. And the response I got was fairly spectacular. And I'll share that with you coming up in just seconds. Facebook scandal. Facebook scandal. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of two childhood friends who got into drugs, did jail time, and ruined their lives. Coming up in moments on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Don't grab the hot dog and beans. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling Every Damn Night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Mark Simone.
I'm sure they love their country, but they don't like their country. They don't like Friday Night Football. They don't like hot dogs. They don't like the 4th of July. It's the worst day of the year for them.
On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to tell a story from my childhood entitled A Tale of Two Junkies. Growing up in the Bronx, I was an athlete and I used to play sports. I was about 14 years old and I used to play with these older guys. They were about 3-4 years older than me. And I enjoyed it because they were older, they cursed. I felt like I was an adult. What wound up happening is these guys started getting into drugs, and that's kind of where we went our separate ways. I would see them around the neighborhood, but I didn't hang out with them anymore. I'd wave and say hi, but that was it. One of the guys who lived around the corner from me, I'd see him all the time, and I just kind of saw his life unravel. He became a stone heroin addict. I used to see him walking around the neighborhood all hours of night, begging on the corner. It was sad. Well, his drug habit got the better of him, and he and another guy I used to play football with came up with the idea they were going to rob somebody for money. So they went to a neighborhood bank, and they would follow people coming in and out of the bank, and when they saw this elderly woman withdraw a couple $100 and put it in her bag, they watched her step out of the bank, they followed her down the block, and they threw her on the floor, and they broke her arm, took her bag, and they took off. They ran down Westchester Avenue to the next train station, Zuriga, and they climbed the stairs. Now, their plan was, with the money they stole from this woman, they were going to go down to Soundview Avenue, which was a couple of stops down, and score a couple of bags of dope. What winds up happening is the NYPD, it comes over as a radio run as a robbery. They have the description. Two police cars pull up on either side of this on the platform. Now the cops are running up the stairs. They're trapped. There's nowhere to go. The guy that lived around the corner from me, like I said, was an athlete. He climbed onto the tracks and then kind of hang jumped and fell below, seriously injured his ankle, but he was able to make it escape. The second guy wasn't as lucky. He wasn't an athlete. He got caught and he got sentenced to jail time upstate New York. Well, a couple of years later, my younger brother becomes a correction officer. He's on Rikers Island. Who does he see but that guy? And he's got no legs. And my brother's like, what the hell happened to you? He goes, well, when I got paroled, I wanted to commit suicide, so I got high on a couple of bags of dope. I ran into a subway tunnel hoping a train would kill me, and it cut my legs off. So I know my brother's like, that's a shame. And fortunately, that guy committed suicide a couple of years later. The athlete that lived around the block from me, his life is even sadder. Just years in jail and drug abuse and methadone clinics. He's never been right, and it's a shame. The guy had a genius IQ, and he's never amounted to anything.
So in life, when you see people heading that way, just stay out of their way, because you're going up and they're going down. And if you don't get off that elevator with them, you're going into the basement. So for more interesting NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD Law and Disorder.
We do a live radio show every Sunday night just for you from 10 p.m. Eastern to 1 a.m. Eastern. Walter M. Sterling. And I do it so I can talk to you on the phone. That's why I do it live. My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Worse for you, filling the dishwasher or emptying the dishwasher? March in St. Louis, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Hey, Walter, this is a joy being on the air with you. I love your show, and I wrote a poem for you. I'm a local poet, if you don't mind, I'd like to read it to you, and also maybe if you don't already have one, apply to be the official poet of the Walter Sterling Show.
The poet laureate of the Sterling Show. How exciting would that be for your career?
Oh, yeah, I know. I mean, that's just, you know, what else can I achieve after that, you know?
Nothing. Anyway. You and Maya Angelou, yeah. You'd be right at the top of the food chain of poets.
Yeah.
Please go ahead.
You want to hear it?
Yes, I want to hear it, as long as I don't have to hit the delay. Go ahead.
No problem with that.
Okay.
There's a radio host named Walter on the air nearly every damn night. You know that he never will falter, though other hosts certainly might.
And the next stanza?
That's it.
All right, then I need you to read it again. I got to get it in the clear, and we'll make this into a whole promo. Go ahead, please.
There's a radio host named Walter on the radio near every damn night. You know that he never will falter, though other hosts certainly might.
You're going to hear it obsessively on the air. I hope you're prepared for that.
That would be my pleasure and honor. And by the way, as far as dishwashers are concerned, we don't have one. I'm the dishwasher.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, my wife does share some of it with me. I have to admit that. But actually, we don't really have room in our little kitchen. And so we just do it the old-fashioned way.
Let me tell you a secret. I used to have one of those kitchens. Do you know that there are countertop dishwashers? They're about the size of a microwave. You screw the hose into the faucet on your sink, and you have a dishwasher on the counter. Not a big fancy thing, but it's just you and your wife. That would be more than enough for, like, your dishes for 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, well, we do get a lot of dishes dirty. It's a lifestyle thing. You know, we cook.
It's a scandalous lifestyle. March, thank you for being my friend. Thank you for listening to Sterling every damn night. There, you see, it takes so little to get my attention. There are really only two things you need to do. Flatter me and bring baked goods. And there's a tip for the public relations people, for the PR hacks, trying to push books and movies and get attention on the big radio shows. It's very simple. All you have to do is bring food. You show up at any radio station any time of day. Say, I just baked brownies. You will be whisked past security, brought through all the buzzer doors, and welcomed onto the biggest radio shows in your city. Guaranteed. Because radio people thrive on carbohydrates. They thrive on carbohydrates. They have no discipline. If you were to say to them, listen, you could lose 30 pounds if you just eat protein all the time, they'd say, that's a great idea, and they'd never do it. The next box of donuts, the next box of tasty cakes that came through, that's what they would do. That's who we are. Everybody in radio has just a little something hanging over those pants. Just a little something hanging over that belt. That's how you know that you're in radio. That's how you can spot them 10 miles away. And they look for the buffets, because you never know. These are the people who bring bags to the buffets. You're at a PR firm, the way you get bookings on the radio, bring food. The way you don't get bookings on the radio is if you say the stupidest thing you could possibly say. And I'm serious about this. I can't begin to tell you how many times I've heard this. I'll call up a PR person and say, yeah, that book looks kind of interesting and stupid. My audience likes interesting and stupid. They're midnight misfits. They don't belong. This looks great. Be here at 10 p.m. Be on the phone at 10 p.m. Oh, really? That's so late. What? Hi, I've offered you a position on a national radio show. Many 50,000-watt stations, even KMBZ in Kansas City. Even KMBZ, Alan First station. Oh, my God. Paul Vandenberg station in Albany. You're kidding me? I'm offering you this? Michael Ewing station in Florida. I'm offering you this golden staged to talk about your goofball book. And you're telling me it's too late, and then you'll sit back and go, well, you know, books aren't selling as well as they used to be. Yeah, that's because authors would do anything to get the publicity to sell their books. Anything. They tore the country in their station wagons handing out books. I'm Walter Sterling, Sterling on Sunday.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Coming up, I'm going to talk to you about the scandal I've caused on Facebook in just two or three sentences. It's unbelievable what happened. Now, the most important thing you and I care about, Dr. Dave's weather.
Sterling every night, lost in space, mission control.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is our ufologist, the legendary Dave Scott, who has information from up north, from Canada. He's a Canadian ufologist, and therefore a great honor to have an international figure sharing this information with you and me.
It's always a pleasure to join you and the Misfits on this show, and I got to tell you, it's one of my highlights of the week, getting to spend some time with you.
I feel very close to you as well. Now, Dave, is this going to be UFO news or Bigfoot news or metaphysical news or my favorite news, which is time portals?
We are going back to UFO news because there's a lot of politics happening, but I think you'll like the juice that I've saved for the second half.
Take your time. Do whatever you have to do.
First of all, Marco Rubio was recently interviewed on Fox News, and he stated during that interview that many high-ranking Pentagon officials have confirmed to him that they have recovered UFOs. He believes this could be the biggest story in human history. However, once again, he is not saying who, what, where, when, why, Walt. He is not telling us the names. But this is where these hearings that are coming up that we're expecting sometime in September to actually open up this vault on who's talking about this. The public, and the American public especially, has a right to know what their government is holding in regards to secrets of life from another planet or another system or another dimension, or time travelers, where these craft and potential non-human intelligence are coming from. But Rubio literally stating, we have them. He's been told. Now, we need photos. We need people to come out with evidence, because most of the American public is not going to believe this until it actually comes to fruition. But we also know, and this leads into part two, Walt, we also know there is a group that is dedicated to shutting down this story, that they do not want the American public nor the world public to know that we are being visited at this time.
Now, who are these? First of all, the fact that Marco Rubio is talking about this gives it more credibility than anybody I've heard so far. Here's a real guy. There's no fooling around with him. He wants to have a long future in politics. He's not going to step into crazy world. He's dealing with facts. This gives me great confidence in this story. Who are these people who don't want us to know? Who are these people?
Well, there's a lot of, whether it's generals or whether it's people within alphabet organizations like the CIA that are talking about this. Whether the American public wants to believe this story or not, from what I am hearing, this is a large, large topic of discussion behind the scenes in places of Washington, D.C. and Maryland. Okay, the Pentagon is filled with people talking about this story, and I'm not talking maybe 10 or 20. Last number I heard was in the hundreds are having meetings about this subject, Walt. But the problem is we don't have names. None of these people are coming out. It's the same names that continue to circulate around the UFO circles. Recently, we're hopefully going to learn more when Jay Stratton, a gentleman who used to run one of the UFO programs at the Pentagon, actually comes out with his book in a few months' time. We know Luis Elizondo didn't really name any new names regarding this. However, what we do know is that there are new people wanting to come out. Hopefully these new hearings that are coming out will actually expose maybe one or two of them.
We need Marjorie Taylor Greene to get on this. If Marjorie Taylor Greene got on this, everything would be exposed. Do you know who she is?
Oh, yeah. If you don't know who Marjorie Taylor Greene is, then you don't know. She is a pit bull on everything.
Yeah, she's who we need on this.
You're not doing well.
That's who needs to be on this.
Yes.
If she's in front of a committee, if she's in front of a spokesperson, they don't survive. They don't survive if they don't answer her questions. She says things like this.
You're not doing well.
That's how she responds to bad answers.
Well, you know what? This leads into part number two, Walt, of what I wanted to bring up tonight.
And take your time. Take your time. Go ahead.
Wait.
Hold on. Hold on.
Okay,
I have to be
sorry.
No. I have to be a good host. Then you can go as long as you want. I just want to explain that this is Dave Scott, who's a ufologist, a metaphysicist. I said it. Listen, did you hear me pronounce that correctly?
And it was incredible.
It really, I think I'm up for one of those major awards. And he hosts a very popular, powerful radio show in Canada that I'm going to work very hard to get on in the States because it's just a great freaking show on all of these subjects. Now, Dave Scott, go ahead.
Well, part number two of this, a good friend of mine, Dan Warren, who has over 700,000 subscribers on TikTok watching his UFO videos, came out with something that has been making the rounds lately on the UFO subject. And this involves Dick Cheney. Now, Dick Cheney is being called the Darth Vader of the UFO story. It is believed there is this conspiracy theory going around right now that Dick Cheney is actually the leader of this group called the Collins Elite. Now, the Collins Elite is supposed to be this very, very secretive group. Nobody knows how many members are in there, Walt. And this group apparently calls the shots for what happens and what doesn't happen in the United States of America. Now, part of that is the UFO story. So Dan put out this post that says, is Darth Cheney the final boss of the UFO cover-up? The ultimate deep state leader and former vice president has been rumored to be a key player in the suppression of the truth about UFOs for decades. Will what's done in the dark come to light soon? Now, it is believed that Cheney runs a lot of people who are longtime senators, including Mike Turner, who has been the senator in Ohio forever, who's in his constituency, the 50-plus thousand workers at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, where it is alleged the Roswell crash was originally taken to out of New Mexico. And they believe that they have been reverse engineering technologies there. That's where they believe the aliens that crashed at Roswell were first taken. And it is believed also that Cheney is the one who calls the shots for this Collins elite group that dictates whether or not we are allowed to know about UFOs.
I watched The X-Files. The secret government was run by a character known as Cigarette-Smoking Man in the script, but Cancer Man to us. I believe that Dick Cheney is Cancer Man. I believe he is head of the secret government. And any doubts I may have had was when the 9/11 Commission was meeting, and that it was time to interview George Bush, the President of the United States. He refused to give testimony unless Dick Cheney was with him. And the answers as to why do you need Dick Cheney with you? You're the president. He'd say things like, I want the committee to see how we work together, which means George said nothing and Dick Cheney said everything. And I believe he's been charged a long time, and I wish mortality on no one. But frankly, considering how many heart attacks he's had, I'm amazed he's alive. And therefore, I believe, just like Cancer Man, the aliens are keeping him alive.
I don't know if it's the aliens or whatever it may be, but look at Henry Kissinger. Didn't he sign the Declaration of Independence, and he just recently passed away in the last couple of years? Some of these people seem to have a longevity that is just not understandable. The one thing I know about Cheney, I will never go hunting with him.
Nor will you tell any jokes about his kids, because they'll just eat you. Dave Scott, how do I stay in touch with you at all times?
SpacedOutRadio.com is our website, Walt. Or I'd really like it if your audience is interested, go to our YouTube channel, Spaced Out Radio, and hit subscribe.
Spaced Out Radio on YouTube. Hit subscribe. It's the least you can do for this solid quality entertainment from Dave Scott. It's 18 past the hour. Who's this? What?
You're not doing well.
Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling every night. Inspired by Jimmy O. Yang.
I'm not Korean. I'm Chinese. And he looked back to his friends. He's like, oh, pinche chinito, huh? And I'm like, sir, you do know that I can understand what that means, okay? I have Mexican friends back home just like you. He was like, no, I'm not Mexican. I'm El Salvador. And I'm like, oh, great. Now I'm the racist.
Doing well.
I'm Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. This is Sterling on Sunday, and I'm here every damn night. What? Yes, six nights a week. If you'd like that magic to happen on this station, get in touch with the station management and say you would like to have the giant ratings that WPHT in Philadelphia has every damn night. I have no idea how that happened, but it's entertaining. I was on Facebook. And I wasted time on my hometown page, Maplewood, New Jersey. And everybody on the Maplewood, New Jersey page was posting a picture of their childhood home and nothing else. I lived at 23 Kendall Avenue, and we moved away 18 years ago. I loved every minute that I was there. Joining now, thanks for admitting me. Like, thanks for admitting you to a Facebook page? I'm not going to thank you for admitting me to a Facebook page. I am the benefit to the Facebook page. You are the benefit to the Facebook page. They need us. Yes, even us freaks. But I kept saying, why do you just keep posting photos of your homes? This looks like a page of a real estate agent selling mid-century, middle-class homes. That's what it looks like. There was nothing else but homes and no story. Like, if you're going to post something on your hometown page, why don't you tell a story? I put up some stories. I said some stories. And a troll studied me, figured out that I have a radio show. And then he posted this on the Maplewood page, this Frank guy. Everybody in my life whose name Frank has made my life miserable. He goes, what's your problem, Jack Hole? Every other post on this page is someone posting a pic of their house and telling their story. If you bother to read it. I read yours. No, they weren't telling their story. They just said, I had a nice time there, and then I moved. Well, you didn't post a pic of your house. Your little story made me believe Maplewood Education failed you. As I had to troll you due to your absurd comment, I can't wait to try and tune into what I can only imagine to be a tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theory pushing radio show. Yeah, that's what I'm going for. And by the way, I posted that Kennedy's secretary was Lincoln and Lincoln's secretary was Kennedy. A well-known fact, not a radio fact, an actual fact. And by the way, Kennedy didn't have a secretary named Lincoln. And Lincoln didn't have a secretary named Kennedy. I guess you never made it to the Ivy League school you were taught to dream about while you were in Maplewood. Go play somewhere else. Maybe learn a lesson. If you read something you don't like, simply scroll past it. Obviously, a lesson I need to learn as well. Well, thank you for imagining this is a conspiracy tinfoil hat-wearing radio show. That is what we're going for, because then what happens? You in the 18-wheeler, the 4-wheeler, that's how you get ratings. At this time, nobody wants to hear crap. Nobody wants to hear anything that the rest of the world thinks is serious, because you and I know that the conspiracy theories and the tinfoil hat, that is serious. It's the most important thing we can discuss other than the weather. We got it all here. We got everything that you could imagine. But it is a fact that Kennedy's secretary was named Lincoln. And I know this because she sent me a letter. When Kennedy was killed, that week, right before it happened, my dad sent President Kennedy's office a letter because he had taken an amazing snapshot of him up in New England, sent it to him. And we got a beautiful letter from Mrs. Lincoln, his secretary, and we still have it. And it says, Lincoln, secretary. Therefore, we know it's true. We have proof. But there I am, and this is my curse in life. Anytime I step forth into a group, I get near a group that has a shared interest with me, in this case, where I grew up, Maplewood, New Jersey. I'm always in trouble. It never goes well. It never goes well. All I said was, I'd like to hear more of your stories. That's all. I didn't say, don't post pictures of the house on the Facebook page from Maplewood, New Jersey. I didn't say, don't post the pictures. I just said, I'd like to hear a story rather than, thanks for having me in the group. I left 82 years ago. I was at the Marshall School. Okay. I put up on there that I had some good teachers in elementary school. I named them. And then I put up that I had some not so good teachers in elementary school, and I named them. And I mentioned that I was on the original Ultimate Frisbee team, which was at Columbia High School. That was pretty much it. And Frank here says that I'm a troll, a terrible person, and that my radio show probably has tinfoil hat listeners. And all of us should be proud of the Tinfoil Association. Thank you, Dave Scott, for that. But there it is. That's what always happens to me. Every time I try to normalize my life by participating with other people, I am slapped with the fact that I'm a misfit, that I don't fit in. I said, I think there are enough pictures here. Why don't you tell some stories? But I didn't order it. I led by example because I'm a natural leader. I led by example. I said, here's my story growing up. Here's my teachers. And that's what I put. I put my story there. And I said, okay, now you tell your story. Instead, this Frank guy smacks me. How dare you? How dare you ask for more? How dare you ask for people to make an effort instead of just saying, well, I lived there 18 years ago. Hey. All right, coming up, I'm going to tell you about a scary story about my daughter in just seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by NASA.
Remember when NASA sent a woman to space for only 6 days and they gave her 100 tampons?
More news, day and night.
your dog to Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night.
It's the people of Walmart on Sterling at night.
Just want to make mention, this is the kickoff of Hispanic Heritage Night. Why September 15th? Well, it's because that is Mexico's Independence Day. This holiday brought to us by President Ronald Reagan. Walmart, the largest corporation in the world, has plenty of Hispanic and Mexican foods. Tomatillos, tortillas, salsas, and so much more. Mabon, North Carolina, the home of amazing Walmart. Jeffrey Smith accused of approaching a man in the restroom of that Walmart and grabbing his goodies through the man's clothes. Turns out Jeffrey Smith is a pastor of Mabon Presbyterian Church. Well respected. In fact, he just celebrated his 40th wedding anniversary. I called that church as an esteemed member of the media being on Sterling every damn night, and they didn't recall me back. Their website's been scrubbed. I bet there's a shingle out front saying, Pastor Wanted. Walmart, a lot of people meet their romantic partners at Walmart. And I suggest that you do not do it in a restroom or in a fitting room. You want to stay and lounge around produce and look at how the people have their bananas displayed. If the bananas are displayed right, say hi. Don't grope. Don't grab. No matter how tempting that may be. Feel sorry for that wonderful church and his sweet bride, but sexual urges sometimes overtake even pastors. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool. Sterling, every damn night.
All right, good evening, Walter M. Sterling, every damn night. One of the stupidest things, one of the least scientific things that American medicine has run with and embraced, I have to deal with too often, not for me, but for members of my family. Prescription quality painkillers, pain medicine, is medicine. And many of these pills have been around for over 100 years. Proven, tested, no problem. The CDC says that of prescription pain medicine users, 0.06% abuse them. 0.06 abuse them. Not 6%, 0.06% abuse them. Prescription painkillers. One out of 10 people who has their first beer today will drink alcoholically the rest of their life. One out of 10. But for the rest of us, you have minor surgery, major surgery, oral surgery, in-and-out surgery, outpatient surgery. 1 or 2 days of Percocet is not going to cause you to run into the ghetto to get get anything else. It's not going to drive you to be a drug addict. Instead, the medical industry learned two things. One is that prescription pain medicine, Percocet, there's no profit in it. It costs so little. You get it for, it retails like 50 cents a pill. Costs nothing. But, oh, gee, these pain med therapy labs, these pain medicine, pain management clinics, there's a fortune there. You know it's in a pain management clinic at a hospital? You know what's in there? There is an IV, a C-level doctor who can do a muscle or nerve ablation, and it's all outpatient. They go in for an hour and a half. You make somebody who's in pain suffer more with a nerve ablation and a muscle ablation, and then they leave, and the insurance company pays $5,000, $6,000, $10,000 versus writing a proven prescription for Percocet that costs 50 cents. Hospital doesn't make any. pharmaceuticals can't make any, doctors can't make any on the referral, there's no money in it. But these pain management centers, oh my gosh, and you have to sign that you'll only go to that one and that you're going to go to it for the next 18 months. You won't have their work checked by another doctor. It's insane. I do not take any pain med. This isn't about me. My daughter, my beautiful, perfect 19-year-old daughter who had been in a car wreck in which she had been a passenger and has had enough pain from the mistakes they made in the hospital when they brought her in from the car wreck, putting her IV directly into the injury. Because, gee, they didn't take pictures of that. The geniuses put an IV into her injury for 2 nights. The kid was in constant pain because of these geniuses. Why the hell can't I sue for that? I've asked her lawyer 80 times why we can't sue for that. We could. She goes and has 4 painful wisdom teeth pulled. 4 painful wisdom teeth pulled. 4 at the same time. You know what that means. And I looked at those dentists, maybe someplace famous like the Case Western Dental School, maybe. And I said, you're going to give her prescription pain meds, right? She's going to be in terrible pain for the next 2 or 3 nights. She's delicate. She's small. Not used to this sort of pain. You're going to give her Percocet for 2 or 3 nights. Oh, no, no, no. We could never do that. No, ibuprofen will be enough. I say ibuprofen will be like mint. It'll be meaningless. And sure enough, thank God she made a video. On the drive home, she was in tears. There were tissues coming out of her nose and her mouth, and she was crying. She was in so much pain. And she made a video of that. And I have posted that on LinkedIn, enabling everybody to see what that organization did to my daughter. Because her video is maybe 2 minutes. I lived with it for 2 or 3 days. As you know, there's nothing worse. There's nothing more heartbreaking than to see your child in needless pain. 4 Percocets would have solved that problem. She would not be running to the ghetto to get more. American medicine, wake up. Pay attention to your science. Prescription pain medicine is not automatically addictive. Pay attention to your science. From the CDC, the sacred CDC. You're a bunch of a-holes. Doing that to my daughter, you're a bunch of a-holes. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling, every damn night, inspired by Daughter's Secrets.
Every family member has that one daughter that's expensive, that's mentally unstable, with anger issues, with a short temper, and that hates loud noises, but she's the loud one. Is that you?
Sterling every night. Study books, lusty books. Get cozy with Thea Landon.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and here's an excerpt from my book, Searching the Skies. Geneva's cheek grew hotter, and she contemplated the seriousness of their proposal, assuming they appeared a bright, flaming shade of red. Marcus shifted in his chair to face her head on. Why don't you go upstairs and think it over? If you don't come back down after a while, we'll come find you, he said, the implication clear. She stood up and gave the two of them one last incredulous look before following his directions in a daze. Making her way to the second floor of the house, she raced down the long hallway to the master bedroom, shutting the door behind her. Dropping into a sitting position on the bed, she rested her chin on her hands and tried to make sense of the jumbled thoughts whirling through her mind. They weren't really going to do this, were they? She hadn't thought much of her offhand comment before she made it. But since the seeds of possibility had been planted, she wondered if she should dare dream about the potential outcomes. Though she had never imagined herself in such a position, an exhilarating rush spread throughout her body. Indulging in one decadent night with the two men who had touched her in so many ways would be the ultimate fantasy, the culmination of everything she'd wanted. She wasn't sure how much time passed before the door opened and Marcus peered into the room. "Hi," he casually greeted her. "Hi." A giggle escaped her lips at the absurdity of the whole situation. He entered the bedroom, Ash close behind. "So, we're here." "I can see that." The heat had never disappeared from her cheeks, but she'd committed to her decision and planned to see it through. "What am I supposed to say, exactly? I'm here for the taking?" The men laughed. "It's a start," said Ash. Geneva tugged at the bedspread, loosening the neat edges, and shoved it to the floor. Resuming her position at the edge of the bed, her eyes darted back and forth between her two companions, unsure of how to proceed. Neither one made a move. As she had brought about the evening's activities, however inadvertently, she took the initiative and reached for the hem of her tailored blouse. It floated to the floor after she pulled it over her head, and she wriggled out of her corduroy pants with the same determined speed. No one else budged from his position, so she continued undressing. She was the center of attention as she flung her bra into the growing pile, and her panties soon followed. Completely nude, and still blushing since she'd never been in the state in front of an audience of more than one, she slid back on the bed and propped herself up on her elbows in anticipation of the upcoming show. Ash took his cue and tore off his own shirt, muscles rippling as the broad plane of his chest was exposed. Not to be outdone, Marcus followed suit and unbuttoned his pants, pushing them down off his slim hips. They wasted no time in removing the rest of their clothing and stood before her, presenting themselves in an offer that awakened her wildest desires. The commander's pale skin and sturdy build were a stark contrast to the tanned, wiry body of the man next to him. But Geneva had little time to analyze her comparisons. Ash sat next to her on the bed and stroked her side, tracing a line from her shoulder, around the swell of her chest, down to the curve of her hip, and back up again. She closed her eyes and shuddered under his feathery touch, aware of what he could do with those fingers. But another hand directed her head to the opposite side. Marcus lay down beside her on the other side of the bed and brought his mouth to hers. She ran her fingers through his silky hair before resting her hand at the back of his neck, keeping him close as she received his sultry kiss. He caressed her cheek and steered her head to the pillow. Folding her hand around his, she pressed it against her chest, over her pounding heart. "Oh, I think I should stop there for tonight, but you know you can always have more." That was an excerpt from my book, Searching the Skies, which is available at Amazon on Kindle Unlimited. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon for Sterling Every Damn Night.
It's Thea, L-A-N-D-E-N, on Amazon. You can get her book there. Worth the trouble. Great airplane reading. Terrific for a long weekend. You will enjoy those books. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. This is Sterling on Sunday. Our 10th year. Unbelievable. That's because we're on Sunday nights. No one notices. No one cares. It's great. But now I'm on Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. to midnight on WPHT in Philadelphia, and you can hear it on the easiest way to do it. I could tell you about the app, but no one cares. 1210 WPHT. Just type in 1210WPHT.com and click Listen Live, and you can hear it. It's spectacular. It's one of the greatest things ever. No, it's not. But what are you doing? You don't have anything else to do, but you are a midnight misfit. You and I, we are loners. The greatest thing that can happen to us is nobody bothers us. That's the greatest gift. If we get through a whole day and nobody wants anything from us, or they don't say, hey, why don't you join us? What is there a worse phrase, my friend, than if somebody says, why doesn't somebody join us? I shared with you the hell I've been through with my beautiful daughter getting 4 wisdom teeth pulled, and not one doctor would step up and give her 2 days of pain medicine, real pain medicine, not, oh, take ibuprofen or Tylenol. No, those don't work if you've had 4 wisdom teeth pulled. But, you know, those same damn dentists who would not give her Percocets or any real painkiller or Valium or anything, if their mother wanted it, if their wife or their husband wanted it, no problem. It would roll out. Not an issue. They take it out of their back pocket because they're usually eating it at lunch. What a bunch of phonies. Well, I realize the pain management center can generate far more profit than writing a script for a 100-year-old drug. I get that. And that's what we're here for. But shame on them. The greatest gift you and I can receive is a request for help.